Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Melanie Cole's Health Radio. It's radio that's good for you.
About 350 million people worldwide suffer from depression. They call it the silent epidemic. And if you think about it, there are medicines and doctors and counseling, but there's also something you can do right in your very own home that can seriously help you with depression and a whole host of other illnesses. And we're calling that dog medicine, and dogs can improve so much of your health. Our little puppy friends, my guest today is Julie Barton. She's a writer, mother of two, and a dog lover who lives in the Bay Area of Northern California. Welcome to the show, Julie. So little pupperoos, we love them so much. They're man's and woman's best friend. How do they help us and improve our health?
Well, in many ways, they give us responsibility. They get us outside. They get us walking. And they show us how to live with unconditional love and acceptance and approaching every situation with joy.
It's wonderful. It's a great way to put it as well. So what's your story? How did it help you?
Yes. Well, my book is called Dog Medicine, and the tagline is How My Dog Saved Me From Myself. And I was 22 years old in 1996, and I was very slowly sinking into a serious depression. I didn't know what it was. I'd never heard of depression in 1996. And I went home. I'd been living in New York. I went home to Ohio. I sank even further. I was suicidal, and nothing was helping. My parents got me to doctors and therapists, and they watched me very carefully, but nothing helped me until I adopted a puppy. And having him changed my life because he gave me purpose. He got me outside, and he also was very sensitive to my mood. And he would approach me and lean on me or sniff me and wiggle next to me when I was feeling down. And just being seen in that way changed everything.
And they're so funny, those little things, aren't they? They do sense these things. And, I mean, they even use dogs to sense glucose levels and insulin problems for diabetics and autistic kids. And besides depression, there's so many other things that they can be trained to do, but some of it just comes naturally and instinctively. Do you think that everyone has the ability to be moved by an animal? There's some people that just don't like animals that well.
Yeah, well, and there, I think everybody has the capacity, absolutely. If you're not an animal person, maybe go outside and watch birds. I mean, there's all kinds of ways you can be informed by how, you know, animals congregate and how they work together. And I really think that, I personally think everybody could be converted into a dog lover.
I do, too. I mean, I don't love the hair all over, but, you know, that's just kind of a thing. They've got fur, and so you just kind of deal with that. Now, in your situation, the depression was caused by something else. So do you want to speak about that or not? But then tell us how your dog kind of came into your life and then changed it. What are you doing now?
Well, my dog came into my life and changed it by seeing me and being my companion. He died in 2007, and I've written a book, this book, to celebrate his life. And my depression came on for many reasons, but one of the main ones was a really difficult relationship with a sibling, and it sort of left me feeling very low in terms of self-esteem and hope and joy. And my dog just was a companion that made me feel like he was never going to hurt me. He was never going to judge me. And now I have a new dog now. He's a rescue. He's a little dog, and he's very different. But he has a similar kind of medicine. It's different, but it's he approaches everybody with joy. Teaches me how to love the simple things.
Well, that's really what it's all about. It is the simple things. And as you mentioned, walking and just the cuddling and the looks on their faces, my goodness, they can range from really sad to looking so, so very happy. So yeah. You wrote this book, and you're doing something with the profits for the book.
Yes, we're donating 5% of the profits to the rescue where I got my current dog. We're his fourth home. They go into shelters and find the dogs that are overlooked or need pretty serious medical attention, or are in a rural area where nobody would find them, and bring them to a bigger shelter and give them a warm foster home. And that's where we got our current guy. And there's so many organizations like that out there. And we just wanted to support as much as we could the one that gave us our little guy.
Oh, it's so important. And it's wonderful that you're doing that. And, you know, just animals in general, they even say fish can help calm stressful situations, and staring at fish. And so I think that really any time we take the time, and is this one of your messages, anytime we take the time to love another being, whether it's a human being or an animal, we're going to receive that love back and kind of feel it going both ways. So it's about that giving up from ourselves to not only what they can do for us.
Absolutely. And there's studies that have shown that when you look into a dog's eyes and when you pet a dog, that there's a surge of oxytocin in your brain. And that's proven to help us feel recharge a little bit better. And, you know, for young people, I was 22 when my depression culminated. The second leading cause of death in people aged 15 to 29 is suicide. The first cause is car accidents. The second is suicide. And we're just not talking about it enough. We're not talking about the sorrow and the, you know, like desperation and hopelessness that a lot of young people are feeling. And I think that one of the ways that an animal reaches us is when you're that age, you think nobody understands you. You really do. You think nobody gets it. Nobody can talk to me, especially my parents, maybe my friends, definitely not a doctor. But when you're with an animal, there's this unconditional acceptance that you feel, at least I did, I felt it very, very deeply, that the first time when I had this puppy and I was well for a few days, and then I started to think again. And my dog walked across the room, sat on my feet, and leaned against my shins and looked up at me as if to say, are you better now? And I was hooked. That was it. That was the moment I thought, this is going to help me. It may even save me, and it did.
Wow, I love that story. Kind of gave me chills right there. And really, how long did it take? So you said you sunk back just a little bit, but then he came to you and brought you back out. So what did you do on a daily, weekly basis? Was this a trained dog or did you work with them?
I got him as a puppy and I trained him. And that was another thing that was very empowering for me, because I read a book that said how to train your dog. I took him out and I trained him because I knew that he was going to be happier if he was well-trained, as was I. He was going to feel less stressed and know that I was the alpha. He wasn't in charge. I was in charge. I was going to take care of everything you needed to worry about. And, you know, to say that I got a dog and suddenly I was better is not accurate. It was a constant process of learning to notice my thoughts, being very careful if I started to feel like I was thinking to seek help. And I'm 42 now, and I still do that. I treat my depression like any chronic illness. If I start to feel myself thinking, I go straight to my support network, whether it's my therapist, my counselor, my doctor. I personally have written this book and talk very publicly about this because we don't need to have shame when we talk about mental illness. We really don't. It's just,
no.
It's a physical, mental, it's an ailment. It's just like, I say it's just like having diabetes or any kind of chronic condition where you have to take care of yourself. And
it
so
certainly
this
is.
My story.
And thank you so much. The book is Dog Medicine, How My Dog Saved Me From Myself. And always love our animals. They do so much for us. Why not do something for them as well? This is Melanie Cole. Thanks for listening and stay well.